We have some special guests with us today. All the way from Milwaukee, the Engel family are with us. Why don't you guys stand on up? Amen. Of course, they are our brother and sister in the battle as well. And, you know, most weeks they're out there having a house church and taking care of Joe and Irene, Barb's mom and dad down in Madison, working very hard down there. So please keep them in your prayers as well. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to the Chicago International Christian Church.
Yep. Come on.
Now, I'm just about to the point of being able to say that and not worry about saying Syracuse.
Amen.
It's only been a few months. Amen. It's good to say the right city.
Yeah.
When you welcome people. I know some of you are having trouble with that from Madison. Some of you have trouble with that from Portland. You know, but we're in Chicago now.
That's right.
So why are we named the Chicago International Christian Church? Well, I already told you about Chicago. That's where we're at. So that's a good part of the name to have. Why international? Well, look around the room. Already, we got many nations in the room. And that's the only type of church I ever want to be a part of. I grew up in all white churches, looking over at the all black churches. And we don't need to do that. Amen? There need to be all nations and all languages.
Right.
And we've got some exciting things to talk about the Latino ministry today, but we'll leave that.
Okay.
That's international. But it's also because we are part of a movement of churches literally all over the world.
Yep.
And just a couple weeks ago, we got to be in Portland, Oregon, and gather together with our brothers and sisters. We have brothers and sisters there from Kiev in the Ukraine, from Canada, from Chile, really all over the globe, gathering together to learn how to grow deeper in our relationship with God and deeper in our relationship with each other.
Amen.
And isn't that what church is all about?
Yeah.
Amen. So that's the international part. Christian. Well, you gotta call it what it is.
Come on.
We're not here to be anything else but Christian. Amen?
Amen.
But in America, man, what does that mean anymore? Well, are you Christian? Let me see. I'm not Jewish. Yeah, I'm Christian.
Right.
America's a Christian nation, right? Right, Mom and Dad? I'm Christian. You know what I'm saying? And we grow up, and it's almost, if you're not careful, man, it's just like a social club. Or it's become what Israel used to be, a birthright. If you're born Christian, you're Christian. But it's so much more than that. Was it yesterday? I think it was. Steph and I and Brian got to sit down and do a little Bible study, and we were talking a little bit just about what this means, you know, to have faith of your own. To be a Christian, you've got to have your own faith.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, people would ask me why I believe what I believe, and I'd get angry, and really because I didn't know what to tell them, but I didn't want to be asked. And I used to dabble in Christian music, and I even wrote a song called Blind Faith. Basically, it was all about, if I want to have blind faith, you leave me alone, stop asking me questions.
Right.
Gee, that's just like Jesus, isn't it? You know, that's crazy. We've got to be able to give an answer for our faith.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I asked Brian is, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe it? He said, yeah, I believe it. I said, well, why? And we talked about that a little bit, right, Brian? You see, because I used to believe that, and you asked me why, I would say, well, because Mom told me that's what happened. Right? Mama said so. Right? And so, you got to have your own convictions. And we had a great talk about why I believe Jesus rose from the dead. There are some great proofs and great logic and great understanding, even outside of the Bible. Historical proof that Jesus did raise from the dead. If He didn't raise from the dead, you're in the wrong place today. We're going to be Christian. That means we're going to be Christ-like. That's what it means. And let's get to that final word, church. What does that mean? Again, I think there's a lot of confusion about what church is.
That's true, bro.
And so we're going to talk about it today.
Come on, bro. Come on.
You know, it comes from the Greek word, ekklesia. And then in Spanish, it's iglesia. It's kind of similar. Ekklesia, iglesia. In French, it's église. And then in English, it's church. I guess we just have to be different, don't we? Amen. But what does it mean? What it means is, it's a group of people called out for a common purpose. That's what a church is. Look in Ephesians. We're going to read together in Ephesians. And let's go to chapter 3. Let's talk about God's church. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Wow. Paul's writing from prison. Why is he in prison? Did he do something really bad? Yeah, he was preaching about Jesus. So they put him in prison. He's preaching to the Gentiles. He says here, verse 2, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel.
Wow.
Members together of one body. And shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This is incredible. You see, all through time, there was prophecy about the Christ that would come. But there was also prophecy about the Gentiles being set free too.
Yep. Yep.
But now in this generation, Jesus had brought it to be.
Wow.
And it was a mystery, especially to those in Israel. How can this be? We've been God's people for all history. How can He let those heathens in? Oh, I'm sorry, that's you guys, the Gentiles. Amen? Any true Jews here today? Okay, then this is good news for you guys.
Come on.
But the Israelites were like, what is going on? This is a mystery. And Paul was here to make that mystery clear.
Amen.
That now you didn't have to be Jewish, a part of the Israel nation. You didn't have to be a son of Israel. Any son of man, any human being, could be administered into God's grace.
Amen.
And Paul was here to make that clear. Certainly one thing any Christian in this room we can agree on is without grace, we'd be up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? We would be in such trouble. You're going to hear a testimony later today for communion by this couple over here, Seth and Amy Drew, that it's powerful.
Yeah.
It is powerful. And when you hear that, you're just going to be, wow, look at the grace of God. Now think about it in your life. Where'd we be without grace?
Wow.
Now I want you to think of the person that sat down with you and administered that grace to you. Where would you be without them? Grace is an incredible antidote to a horrible disease called sin. But imagine if you had the incredible antidote to a disease you were dying of in your hand, but you didn't know how to administer it. What do I do? How do I take it in? There's a lot of people out there, guys, that need grace. And there are many who have been led astray and sold a false way of receiving grace.
That's right.
Paul was here to teach people the administration of that grace. How to receive it. That's our job, guys. As the church of God. That's our job. To show people how to receive that precious grace. Verse 7. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent, that's God. God's intent was that now, through what? Through the church. What's the church? Group of people called out for a common purpose. It's us. Called out to be Christian. Amen. To receive God's grace.
Amen.
And to administer that grace. That's the church. It was God's intent that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. Wow. That is awesome. What the heck does that mean? Let's talk about this a second. It's very important for you to understand. We have three questions we're going to answer today.
Come on.
Right. Number one, what is God's church? And that's what we're talking about right here. What is God's church? What is it supposed to be? I grew up going to church every Sunday. How about you? Just attending regularly. But I had no clue what God's church was really supposed to be like. The only way you'll know is to get in the Scriptures and to find out. Here, it was God's church, God's people, that was supposed to make God's manifold wisdom clear. See, we serve a God that is so wise.
Yep.
Manifold. Many folds. God is so wise, isn't He? When you look in His Word, isn't it incredible? Brian and I talked about that too. Man, when you look at His Word and you read the Word of God, you go, man, if we just live like this, how different would our world be? How different would our family be? How different would our marriage be? How different would our parenting be? Our love for one another. This world out here that is a Christian nation, if we really were like Christ, how different would our world be?
Right.
You wouldn't have to lock your door at night. You wouldn't have to have all the on your car, you know, for fear someone would steal it or take something from it. You see God's wisdom? He made us. But we treat Him like we made Him.
Yeah.
Like we get to make up the rules. He made us. He knows how we work. And if we follow His Word and make Jesus Lord, each individual here, man, doesn't it change our lives?
Yep.
When you learn, I don't live by my feelings, I live by the Word of God. You guys with me?
Come on.
I don't live by the traditions I grew up with if they contradict the Word of God. You guys with me?
Yep.
Man, how different would it be? That's so wise. How does God show that? It says here, through the church. Is that what we're building here? And who's He showing it to? This is intense. The rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. There are rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I don't even know what all that means. But we're talking about angels. You ever take the advantage of an angel, take the view of an angel? Looking down on earth, God's working with all these people. He gives them all these rules. And what do? They break them. They disobey Him. He tells people, do not steal and they steal. Do not murder and they murder. And then let's go on and on and on and look at our lives. But then God sends His one and only Son down to that very place. Imagine you're an angel and you're looking at that. What is He doing? What is He thinking? And then Jesus starts to teach the truth, how to live. Okay, well, yeah, I see. But they're still not doing it. And now look at what they're doing to Him. Because He's trying to show them the right way.
Yep.
And who nailed Jesus to the cross? We did. Angels goes, what's going on? But then Jesus raises from the dead. And those same guys who ran for their lives when He got arrested, they were so afraid. Those same guys come back just a few days later and literally start a revolution.
Amazing.
That goes to the whole world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yeah, I read in the Bible. But I'll tell you the greatest reason. I told Brian this yesterday. What made those 11 cowards that ran for their lives, afraid to die, what made them come back and live the rest of their lives? Each one of them dying, it's recorded in history, go into their grave claiming Jesus rose from the dead.
Come on.
Wow.
I've studied the Bible with hundreds of guys. I've asked many, if you were one of the apostles and you walked with Jesus, you left everything to follow Him. You followed Him for 3 years. You saw the miracles. You believed. But yet when they arrested Him, you were scared to death. You ran away. Then they brutally murdered Him and threatened to do it to all His followers. He told you He's going to die and 3 days later He's going to raise. And you never saw Him again. Would you spend the rest of your life proclaiming a lie that He rose from the dead? Okay. Maybe they wanted to save face. They were embarrassed. Look, the last few years we've been running around doing this. He died and he didn't come back. Everybody thinks we're stupid. Let's steal the body and tell everybody he rose from the dead. That'd be hard enough. Let's say they pulled it off. And they're walking around. See, I wasn't wrong. I wasn't stupid. He rose from the dead. But then they grab you and they arrest you for saying so. And then they beat you. They stone you. First stone hits my head. Okay. I was stupid. Right. But I'm not stupid enough to get beat for a lie. Okay. They all got beat and martyred. All brutally killed except for John, who died in exile because they claimed Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Would you do that knowing it was really a lie? I'm sorry, man. I'd be like, okay, let me find me a nice wife, settle down, raise some children. But every one of them did. And so the angels see on the day of Pentecost, all nations come together. Peter stands up, the one who denied the Lord three times, stands up and proclaims the truth, calls people to repent and be baptized to be forgiven of their sins, and then 3,000 obey.
Wow.
That day. And the angel looking at these 3,000 that night. They're from all nations. Guys, you look around our world. There's so many wars. Some of you have been part of one. Dave's getting called up even now in the services. There's so many wars going on. People killing each other. And now here, all of them are together loving each other.
Amen.
In God's church.
Amen.
And the angels go, that didn't happen anywhere else on earth. Now we see.
Come on.
That's God's church.
Right.
We are called together for a purpose. To obey God's scriptures. Let me read you this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Although I hope to come to you soon, Paul writes, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth.
Amen.
Wow. See, Paul's writing, he said, I want to come to you soon, but I'm writing this in case I'm delayed. I want you all in the church to know how you ought to act.
Yep. Come on, bro. That's right.
There's a way we ought to act in God's household.
That's right. Amen.
I know you guys that have kids know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you that don't, you will find out soon enough. Amen? There's a way you gotta act to be a Chippetta. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Joe and Denise are saying amen. Shaking their heads. That's right. We love you, Maria. We love you, Luke. Anna. Goo, 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 goo. Amen? There's a way to act. There's a way we act in this house. That's how God says to guys. These are improper for God's holy people. Remember that scripture? There's a way we act in the church. And guys, look at me. Listen to this. It's so important. And it's not just important for us. It's important because this is God's plan. It was His intent that everyone out there, including the heavenly realms, would know He's the wise God who created the heavens and the earth and created us. Through what they see when they look at you.
Wow.
Not individually. Lone Ranger Christian, you can't show the world that.
Good.
No, you can't. One of our greatest tests, and I know you'll say amen to this. So I'm guaranteed one good amen. I already prepped you. You in the air?
Yeah, come on.
The greatest test is not how you are with yourself. It's how you get along with other people. You could be doing awesome, I'm doing awesome, and then you got to interact with another human being. And it falls apart sometimes, doesn't it? How about even in this room?
Come on.
Isn't that the hardest thing? Everybody wants to get married, don't they?
Yeah.
How about you single people? You want to get married one day? Some do, and some are so hurt and jaded they don't ever want to do it again. And I'm not saying that to be funny.
Yeah.
That's a sad thing. Others, it's their obsession.
Yeah.
If they don't have a man, or if guys don't have a woman, they're nothing. Feeling secure. But then you get married. You say, I do. You say, for better or for worse. Yes, you said it. Get out the video and rewind it. I know it was a blur. It was a blur, and all you remember is, for better, for richer, for health. Amen. For as long as I can handle it. No, till death do us part. And then you start thinking, oh yeah, till death, so I'm going to kill him. Guys, how we get along with each other. You claim to be a Christian, but you don't love your brother who you see. The Bible says you do not love your God who you don't see.
Come on, bro.
We got to get serious about what God's church is.
Yep.
You want to be a part of it. You have a serious responsibility to God. You know, the Bible says the church is the body of Christ. We say, well, every good body needs a good head. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen a good body without a head? No, it's a bad body by that point. Right? So we need the head. Jesus is the head. When each one of us make Jesus Lord of our lives, we become members of the body.
Right.
But every good head needs a good body.
Yep.
You with me?
Yeah.
We all agree we got a good head.
Oh yeah.
I'm not talking about the one on your shoulder. I'm talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's a good head of the body.
Amen.
But without a good body on earth, he can't do anything. Are you limiting God? No, God limited Himself in that way.
Wow.
We're the body of Christ on earth.
Yep.
We're the only way for Jesus to wrap His arms around lost souls.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a great song out there called, If We Are the Body.
Yeah.
If we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching?
Come on, Chris.
Why aren't His hands healing?
Yeah.
Why is His love not teaching? If we are the body of Christ. You ever see the old movie about the Holy Grail, Monty Python's Holy Grail? There's this one part where they're fighting the Black Knight. And they start getting the sword out and they're fighting and they cut his arm off and he's bleeding everywhere. And they cut his other, and he's bleeding. And before it's over, all that's left is a head. And it's sitting on the ground, just a head. And the guy's walking off, he's like, come back here, you coward! Come back and fight me! But it's just a head. Without the church, that's all Jesus is. We're His body. We got to have deep convictions, guys, about what God's church is. Look at Acts 18.
Great stuff, Chris.
Question number two that we've got to answer today. And we've got to answer this so that we can answer it to the world. Is what does it take to build God's church? That's what we're here to do, right guys?
Yeah.
Isn't that why we moved here?
Yeah.
Isn't that why you went through and are going through all you're going through to come to Chicago? Well, those of you that weren't drug here. Amen? Those of you that decided to come here on the team, we came for one reason, to build God's church here.
Yeah.
Why? We just answered all that. So that the world could see how great our God is. They aren't just going to see it by picking up a Bible by themselves. They aren't going to see it just by Lone Ranger you being the best you can be. They're going to see it by you being part of God's household. And inviting them over to come on into God's household. When they come in, they just feel God's love.
Come on, bro. Absolutely.
So how do you build it? Acts 18 verse 1. I love this story. Paul has been preaching in Athens. And in verse 1 it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
But we got to keep reading. It says here, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. What happened here? Paul's in Corinth. He's got to eat, right? He's got to live. What are his skills? He's a tent maker. So he goes and he finds Priscilla and Aquila. Amen. There's some awesome Christians to be with. And they got forced over there by stuff that happened in Rome. But we know God was in control and brought them together.
Amen.
And because he's a tent maker as well, they work together. But then here come the young zealots.
Amen.
Silas comes into town driving all the way from Portland. Amen. I mean, you know this. Timothy comes on into town. Silas and Timothy, great to see you. But then Paul devotes himself exclusively to preaching. Did you catch that? Before, he was tent making, and then he was preaching on the Sabbath. One day a week, he got some good time to preach. Silas and Timothy get down, he devoted himself exclusively to preaching. He wasn't making tents anymore. What happened? Well, hey, Silas, Timothy, welcome to town. Get a job, will you? I'm going to preach full time.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Paul would preach full time and they'd take care of him. That's exactly what happened. We need people full time in the ministry to build God's church.
Yeah.
Teresa and I are supported by a church here. To be clear, the church that sent us, Central New York, gave us salary for 1 year. In 1 year, this church better grow or we'll be getting a job. That's the risk we took coming. We could have stayed in Central New York and been, quote unquote, guaranteed a salary for years. That's not what we signed up for. We said, we're going. In a year, if the church isn't big enough to support us, we're going to do something. That's okay. God's in control. But we knew we needed to come. And guess what? We need more people full-time in the ministry.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we need to grow so we can get more people that are working and preaching when they're off so others can be full-time and preach all the time.
Yeah.
And then we need leaders that are full-time to help organize and instruct and prepare the people for works of service so that when you're off work, you're making the most of your time.
Yeah, come on, bro. Absolutely.
My son saw this sign on the way back from Oregon. It was an ad for electronics. It had the geese in a V pattern, but the front goose was missing. And it said, if you want to understand the importance of a leader, try working without one. There have been a lot of lies over the last few years. We don't need full-time ministry. We all love God. We'll all just come together and proclaim His message to the world. How are those churches doing? That's good. So, this is awesome. How do we build God's church? We got to have full-time people in the ministry. And that includes full-time women's ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, we need that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's read on. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, what? Wait a minute. We moved here to just build God's church. Nobody told me someone would ever oppose me. We're here to do good. Why would anyone oppose me? Huh? Honey, you want to come up and share some things with the women? Amen. Amen. I inspired her with that full-time women's ministry thing. She's got her going back there. Guys, Brian and I talked about this too. 2 Timothy 3 says, anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. Why? Why? When you decide to live like Christ, remember, you're going to live like one of God's household. You're going to live a different life.
Yep.
You're going to repent of so many things and live differently. The way the Bible teaches we should.
Yeah.
And the way we all agree we'd like to be treated. But are we willing to do what's right and treat other people that way? When you live by God and others aren't around you, it convicts the socks off of them.
Right.
It does. They're like, man, how many people, even this week, a guy found out I was a minister and said, oh, I'm sorry, I cursed. And now I just remember who that was. I'm not sorry about that. Amen. But it happens all the time. All the time. And it's always so funny to me. You know, God was here a minute ago before you knew I was a minister.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But when someone human is around that has decided I'm not going to do that anymore, it convicts them.
Yeah.
And a lot more levels than just cursing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they go, man, if they're right, then I'm wrong. And either they repent and change and try to live by God's standard, or they want to knock you down so they can feel better about themselves. I had a friend of mine that I was trying to study the Bible with for a year. We grew up together. We went to church together. And we also cursed, told filthy jokes, went to pick up women, and rent pornography together too. But we were Christians. See what I'm saying? Because we went to church all our life that never taught us and called us different. As long as you believed in the Lord, you were fine.
Wow.
Accept Him on into your heart, and you're good. Repeat after me.
Yeah.
So, once I became a true Christian, I got in a better situation. And I wanted him to be in a better situation.
Yeah.
But I would challenge him. And a year later, when he became a Christian, he admitted to me, when he was with me, he would try to get me to blow it. He would try to tick me off.
Wow.
And he said, do you remember that day we're in that diner and you cursed? I got you to curse? I didn't remember. I remember a few times after becoming a Christian that I did, that I blew it in that way, but I didn't remember that day. He said, oh yeah, I was trying to get you to. But I'll never forget what you did afterwards. What I did. You immediately apologized for doing it. And he said, I never forgot that. If you want to live a godly life, you are going to get persecuted. Because people are going, man, this is convicting, and I don't know if I want to do it or not. So it says here, when they opposed Paul and actually became abusive, Paul ran like a little girl. Afraid. Oh, I'm sorry. When they became abusive, Paul got depressed and went and ate his comfort food to feel better. When they became abusive, Paul said, oh, bag this, I'm just going to try to find me a nice woman to get married and settle down. Look what he did. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibility. I will go to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Yep.
Yes.
He's talking to Jews. He's preaching to them about Christ. Some come. Others oppose them. Guys, you want to build God's church? Look at me.
Come on.
You want to build God's church? You got to toughen up.
Come on. There we go.
And I don't mean in a prideful way, guys. I don't mean I'm tough, I can take it. I mean I am less than the least of all God's people. I am weak, but through God I will not back down.
Come on,
bro.
It is a humility to let ourselves be put on the cross like Jesus did and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And to try to teach them. But then Paul said, you know what? Your dust isn't even worthy.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, campus is getting started right now.
Yeah, bro, come on.
And we got some campus students that are going to be preaching God's Word on campus.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
And campus and high school, that's a place where kids are full of sin. And they're learning about things and they're getting involved in things. that, oh man, mom and dad would be horrified at home if they only knew.
Yeah.
I know, because I was one. Not that long ago. Amen. Guys, okay, amen, amen. I already said I'll be 40 in January. Amen. Amen. Listen, they're going to be preaching the word on campus. You think they're going to get opposed?
Absolutely.
Let me go back. Let me highlight something else that I didn't really highlight good enough here.
Okay.
Back in 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15, Paul says, you got to know how to act in God's household. In 15b it says, God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. What's the church? It's the pillar and foundation of the truth. What does a pillar do? Hold something up. Maybe you have little ones in your house that you put flowers on. Or big ones that hold up your awning of your roof.
Yeah.
What does the church do? It holds up the truth.
Amen.
This world's full of lies. It tells young women, just find a man and you'll be fine till he dumps you. It tells young men, just get yourself a cute babe and you'll just be great till she cheats on you.
Yeah.
Get a nice ride and everyone will want to be with you. Till you wreck it or you can't afford it and it gets repossessed. Amen? Or stolen. And then you got to get a great crib. They'll burn to the ground. Those are lies.
They are.
I know people that have all of them and are miserable because their spouse is being adulterous. And then where do they go? The church holds up the truth.
Yep.
You may not like it. You may not want to deny yourself and live it. But the church is holding it up. And so if you don't like it, you get abusive.
Yeah.
You oppose it. It's the foundation. You can't build a house without a foundation.
Nope.
You got to have the foundation of the church or the truth will never be built.
That's right.
Wow.
How do we build God's church? On the truth.
Right.
And so we got to proclaim the truth.
Amen.
We got to share the truth in our own lives.
Right.
And tell the truth.
Yep.
The whole truth. And nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
About where we're really at.
Yeah.
Don't come to church and try to look all good if you're not really. Because you're going to hit a wall and crumble. And you know I'm right.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Come on, bro. Great stuff, bro. Come on.
He shakes us close. I'm clear of my responsibility. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to share the truth. Is it up to us how people respond?
No.
No. But when people respond well and they get baptized, we feel awesome, don't we?
Yeah.
Then the real work begins.
Yeah.
Helping them
yeah.
stay faithful to the very end.
Right.
But other people don't respond. It hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what? We're never going to build God's church if we don't get tougher. We got to realize what our responsibility is and what our responsibility isn't. All we can do is show the truth. And if someone doesn't love the truth, 2 Thessalonians, they will get a powerful delusion and believe that lie.
Yeah.
It's not up to them to bow to the truth. They've got to love the truth. Do you love the truth?
Amen.
You can tell. You can tell when someone loves the truth. They respond to it. And they love people who love the truth.
Amen.
And that is awesome. He says, I'm clear of my responsibility. Now I'm going to go to the Gentiles. Because there's somebody else that needs help.
Amen.
Verse 7. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So Paul left the synagogue, right? He was done with those people. God bless them, but I'm leaving. But did he not care about them anymore? No, that's the lie. The lie is that if you shake the dust off, you don't care. You do care.
Yeah.
But it's up to them to change. He says he left the synagogue and went next door. Not next town, next door. He was tough, man.
Yeah.
To the house of Titus Justus, the worshiper of God. Crispus. And isn't that a nice name? Crispus. All crispy. Crispus. The synagogue ruler. and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? You stand up for what's right. You stand up for the truth. You be humble, but you don't back down. The most unlikely people in your eyes are going to get baptized. The synagogue ruler. And it says he went next door. You know, I think he's at the synagogue, right? I'm done here. I'm leaving. Your blood's on your own head. He goes next door. And I think he got in a part of the place where there was a window facing the synagogue. And he preached, "You guys got to repent and be baptized," right out the door to the synagogue. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know Crispus got baptized.
Yeah.
Read on. It says here, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent." You guys hear that vision?
Yeah. Come on.
"For I am with you." Do you believe God is with you?
Yeah.
"And no one's going to harm you, because I had many people in the city." So Paul stayed there for a year and a half, teaching them the Word of God. It says here, "While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court." They were unified. All the Jews got together and got unified. Not on what was right, but on hurting Paul. Isn't that interesting? And they took him to court. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." He was persuading people. If you want to build God's church, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to persuade people.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:11 says, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord."
Yep.
We try to persuade men.
Right.
I'm convinced some in this room know what it is to fear the Lord and others don't. Those that do, our job is to try to persuade those that don't.
Yeah. Yep.
To fear the Lord.
Yep.
The Greek translation of persuade here is to twist their arm. You go look it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it's close. I believe I'm right. To twist their arm. Guys, if someone you love is wrong and they're deceived, don't you want to twist their arm and get them to do what's right?
Yeah.
In the end, it's up to them, but are you going to stand idly by?
Wow.
We got to persuade.
Amen.
And that's exactly what Paul was doing. And they got him in jail for it. Verse 14. "Just as Paul was about to speak." Maybe you're Paul and you're like, "Oh gosh, what am I going to say? Nope, I got to trust the Spirit. Amen." But he didn't get to speak. "Gallio said to the Jews, 'If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it'd be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle this matter among yourselves. I will not judge such things.' So he had him ejected from the court. Then they all turned on Sosthenes, the new synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever." See, look at this. This was the united group. They beat the snot out of their leader because he didn't do what they wanted.
Wow.
Worldly. Is that intense? Jews got united with the court. The ruler steps forward. They dismiss the case. They beat him bloody right there. I'm not done with this one yet. Amen.
Oh, Chris, great stuff, bro.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened. In my mind, I may be wrong, but the point is clear. Paul's sitting there. "You're released." "Oh, okay." But then he looks over. All the Jews surround their leader. Start beating the snot out of him. I think Paul looked over there and went, "Been there, done that." They beat him, hadn't they? And I don't know if he interrupted it, or when they were done, I think he went over and he helped him up. He said, "How you doing? Why do you think they did that to you? Those are the people you're leading. You think you guys are doing good? Let's talk about Jesus." Next thing you know, what happens to Sosthenes? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother, Sosthenes. He said, well, that's another Sosthenes. Most theologians agree. Where did it happen? In Acts. It was in Corinth. Now he's writing to Corinth. Why put this guy's name from with Paul? It was Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler. Crispus gets baptized. All right, Sosthenes, you lead us. You're not leading the way I like. Beat the snot out of you. And he gets baptized. You guys with me here? Number three, third question we're going to answer. And we answer this one in a study we do with non-Christians called the Kingdom Study. Does it matter if I go to church? Hebrews chapter 10. Hang with me, guys. We're almost done. What is God's church? I think we answered that. How do you build it? We got to get tough. We got to persuade people.
Yep.
And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, does it matter if I go to church? Well, you think after the first two, you know the answer, but let's lay it down for sure. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People say, why do I got to go to church? Say, you cannot miss church. The Bible says it. Where? Hebrews 10, 23.
Yep.
Let's not be in the habit of missing.
Yep.
Now, if you get in and talk about the heart of everything like we have been all day, why would anybody like Jesus want to miss?
Yeah.
This is God's family.
Yeah.
It's the pillar of the truth. I want to be in on building whatever holds up the truth in this lost world. Man, we got to go to church. But here it says, don't be in the habit of missing. Be involved. Coming to church is what's going to help you not swerve off the road of Christianity. Now, if you just come and sit and attend, you could still swerve right off and into the ditch. But if you come and you let the Word get your heart, and you grab somebody after and you talk about how you're doing, and you get help, let's just say, I think one of the big things we got to work on is communication. In our marriages, in our relationships with each other, we got to communicate on a much better level. There's way too much assuming going on.
Yeah.
And when you assume, Satan wins.
Yeah.
He fills in the blanks, and it's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
It's what he wants you to hear, and he gets us feeling insecure, angry, mad, unsure. You got to talk about what's really going on. And don't you know when someone's not being honest? Sometimes they're good and they can fool you. But other times, I asked someone earlier, how you doing? You don't look happy. No, I'm happy. I'm like, well, if you are happy, you're being really selfish and not giving to other people. So what is it? I don't think they were really happy. And so I grabbed somebody and I said, hey, I know you're going to be around them today. Why don't you see how they're really doing?
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything to help, let me know. That's family. We got to be there for each other. When you come to church, you come to help you not swerve off the road, and you come to help others not swerve off the road. Right?
Yep. Right.
How do you do that? You got to consider, before you come, how to spur one another on. To encourage one another toward love and good deeds. We got to be tight, guys. And we got to have Bible talks in the church that are tight. Because even at this size, I can't see everybody. How you doing? You can't see everybody. And one of you may get missed. But in a small Bible talk, you won't get missed.
Yeah.
That's the importance of the Bible talk. And every Bible talk leader has to love that family. Like it's your own kids. Take care of every single person. But you got to consider how to spur one another on. Now, I grew up in Texas. I know what a spur is. Do you know what a spur is? Looks like a star.
It's
got five pointy prongs. You know, we got five Bible talks in the church. We got Chris Williams and Alba leading the Latino prong right over there. Amen. We got Pat and Pam Bouye with the Berwyn prong. We got Roger and Kama leading that North Riverside prong. Now we got some new sheriffs in town. The Chepettas working with the teen prong. Amen. And Teresa and I are working with Anthony, Christina, and all that campus prong. Right? Those are the 5 points of that spur. We come to church on Sunday. You know what you do with a spur? You put it on the back of your boot. You climb up on your trusty steed, your nice horse that you love. All right, Trigger? Come on, baby. All right, you ready to go, Trigger? Okay, good. And you dig that spur up in his hind parts. You know what that horse does? Woo! Bam! That's church. Church ain't coming together and talking about how the Bears and the Packers are doing. And, gee, what kind of casserole are we going to eat later? You come to church, here's what you need to leave feeling. Woo! If that's not what you feel, you're not connected, baby.
Come on.
Either it ain't getting preached, there ain't hot fellowship, or you're dead spiritually.
Wow, come on, come on.
But we gotta dig on and spur each other on.
Yes.
Toward love and good deeds. Not just deeds. Because if you're not doing it out of love, you're gonna burn out.
That's right.
It's gotta be motivated by love and good deeds. It's our responsibility to take care of church. One of the most important parts is children's ministry. I feel like we got an awesome team from now to the end of the year working with children's ministry. We got added to Leononi, Pat Bouillet Sr. I want him with my kids. We got Kama Parlor. I want her with my kids. And we got Ashley Bouillet. What a joy. I want my kids being as joyful as she is. That team is a good team. I feel good about where the kids are. There's another part of the church we need to take care of. You guys like having food on Sundays?
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just seems to be the right time of day. We have church. If we don't have food, we're all going to go out and spend way much money we don't have out here. So we need to eat every Sunday. Someone has to organize that.
Yeah.
You know, Portland, they have the Sisters of Encouragement.
Okay.
And these sisters greet people when they come. And they move to town and they give them a little present. But I know the quickest way to somebody's heart. Right, Chris Williams? To their stomach, baby. So today we're going to appoint some sisters of encouragement to make sure every Sunday we've got some good food.
Oh, amen.
So Barb Shelbrack and Alba Williams are the sisters of encouragement. Amen. Amen. There ain't nothing like the foundation of a full belly to put the pillar of truth on. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Isn't that awesome? One way to spur each other on is to have good news. I talked to a church in Phoenix the other day. You know, they're getting their inaugural kicked off. And so they've imitated a lot of things we did, going out and sharing with people and reaching out to a lot of people. They said before the Jubilee, there was one Bible talk in their church that wasn't spurring it on. You know what I mean? They weren't even meeting regularly. Talked to them the other day. They had 4 people coming out that night. One sister, back last Monday, was really depressed. I know none of you can relate to that. We're all just shining like stars in the heavens. You know what she did because she's depressed? She went out and reached out to 100 people that day. Got 14 phone numbers. That'll get you undepressed right there. Talked to Central New York. In fact, we got a text message from them as the men met Wednesday night. As we were sitting at midweek, we got a text from there midweek. We have a new brother, Gary, just baptized over in Central New York. That's awesome. So what else do we need to be spurred on? We need goals. And we've got some goals coming up, guys. Next Sunday, we're going to have a Bring Your Neighbor Day. But we're going to do something else. We're going to split off and we're going to meet together at the beginning. But then Chris Williams and Alba, they're going to take their group and Chris is going to preach a sermon in Spanish right down the hall. So there's a lot of those double-sided invites right on this table. Spanish on one side. You invite them this week. Amen. Two Sundays from now, we have Campus Teen Sunday. Right here. And Anthony Franklin's going to be preaching the word that day. Amen. And that's going to be awesome. And then we got something planned out good. You know, our Friday Devos for the rest of the year with Camp Teen is going to be awesome. But on the weekend of Halloween, 27th to the 29th of October, we're going to go on a roller coaster road trip. We're going to meet the Central New York Cubs team, and anybody who wants to go can go. We're going to meet in Sandusky, Ohio at a place called Cedar Point. You've been there. It's got some of the top roller coasters in the country. And we're going to go down there on Friday night, have a class Saturday, go to the park all day, get up and have church Sunday, and then come on home. That's going to be awesome to do together. Amen? Let me say this, and then we'll close. You better be sure when you decide that you're going to be a part of God's church, you're going to help build God's church, which means you've got to come to God's church, amen? There are going to be conflicts and obstacles. You've got to work it through. In our church, we expect every member, be it Sunday service, midweek service, where the men and women meet every other week. And boy, the men, we had a hot time.
Yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah.
And then we went out and had fun. Amen.
Yeah.
We have devotionals, Bible talks. We have special retreats, women's days, men's days. We have all these things that we come to. Why? Just to have meetings? No. To spur one another on. Woo!
Yeah.
To love and good deeds. And so we try to plan great stuff for the church. And we're working hard to do it. And we know you have demanding schedules. We know that life challenges are tough. But we need to be together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we need to get that consistent discipling time with whoever you're getting discipled by. So you can consistently talk. Or the rest will just become meetings. And Satan will take you out. You know, our new sister, Olga, she got baptized a few weeks ago. And she went to her job. She said, "You gotta let me off on Sundays."
Amen.
And they're working with her. But she said, "Hey, in the end, whatever I gotta do, I gotta find another job so I can be with my family."
Yep.
This Sunday she's supposed to be off. Yesterday they said, "You gotta work." You know what she did? She said, "Bag that. Whatever happens, I'm going to church."
Amen.
I respect that right there. Well, today, God blessed her. Her husband, Rodrigo, is going to get baptized after church today.
Amen.
Amen. It's amazing. When you start to live by faith again, then you're able to see where you really were spiritually. You get in such a rut, but when you decide, "I'm going to make radical decisions, I'm going to step out on faith," you go, "What have I been doing?" Because you get weighed down. That's why we got to get together and spur each other on. Amen.
Amen.